Hi, everybody. So from the scaffolding that we hope to get growth occurring, the legal frameworks, to actually how the hell are we going to make this thing grow, the Australian Space Agency has set itself a target of tripling the size of our industry to $12 billion, and also the goal of creating 20,000 jobs, which is on us as a collective group, industry group, and also on the wider Australian society and economy. And in particular, probably a lot of folks who are not in the room today, who are not yet engaged with space, that we have to bring on this journey. I'm very, very delighted to have a panel for you tonight of folks who represent different stages in the life of companies. So I'd like to bring up first Troy McCann, who's sitting there in the wings. And Troy works with Moonshot X nationally to accelerate early stage startups and help those startups do M&A. We also have Carly Scott, who's from a Gazelle, Equatorial Launch Australia, a well-funded startup, so effectively the next stage in a company's growth. Then we have Jeremy Hallett from Clearbox Systems, which is an SME, an established business with solid clients and Australian-owned company. Started in 2008, is that right? 2007, fantastic. And finally, we have Mark Ramsey, who comes here from a Prime, Citale. I hope I said that correctly. It's an Italian company that has operations all around the world. Now, you know, guys, we are there's us between the audience and a beer, so we're going to have to be super fast. So I'd love it if you can give a real quick 30-second intro, maybe starting with yourself, Troy, and then we'll work through the company life stages. Let's see how they go.
Cool. All right. Hi, everybody. So I'm from Moonshot, as Tim said. So we are accelerating humanity. And we do this by running a series of events, programs, and investment opportunities in cities all around the world, but of course, especially here in Australia.
Thanks very much. I'm Carly Scott, CEO of Equatorial Launch Australia. We are launching and recovering payloads flown to and from space. And you heard earlier the importance of launch in enabling industry holistically in the space sector. We're certainly looking to play a strong role in helping to grow the jobs and opportunities of the future.
Hi everyone, Jeremy Hallett from Clearbox Systems. As Tim mentioned, we were born in 2007, but only realised I was a space company in 2017 when the IAC was held in Adelaide. We'd been doing satellite communications across the military for companies like Telstra, for the ABC, for Air Services Australia, but no one cared about space, so we weren't a space company. So now I'm on the bandwagon, given that's a big part of our business, and I'm glad to be here today to share some thoughts.
Good afternoon, everyone. I won't be long. My name's Mark Ramsey. I'm the General Manager of Citale Australia. I think it's probably a pleasure to be called a prime. We're around 400 people, so we're firmly in the sort of medium enterprise. Headquartered in Italy, we've got about 20 years heritage in electric propulsion, space avionics, and more recently, small satellites. So when we talk about small satellites, we're really in the 50 kilo to 300 kilogram range, so that next step up from CubeSats. And Citale Australia was founded only about 6 months ago now, and we plan to hopefully be building those level of spacecraft in Australia in the future.
Thank you very much. Thanks, folks. So we've got representatives from different life stages, as I said, and the reason sort of happily is that we need to grow this industry. Now, one of the speakers that we couldn't get tonight, Sean Wilson, he made a comment in his apology note, which is very interesting, around growth. And he mentioned this idea that a critical mass is coming into view in Australia. I'd love it if you guys could comment on that. There's some background. We've now got the Australian Space Industry, Australian Space Agency, and this conference. We've got something called DEF-799, which is a defence project worth about $600 million, and Equatorial Launch, hopefully Australia's first operating commercial launch base. Gilmore, Fleet, Myriota, Newman, Seaskip, Sabre, Innovore, joining folks like yourselves, Clearbox Systems, in raising investment capital or certainly revenues. So, you know, critical mass, is that the secret to the growth that we need to achieve here, $12 billion, 20,000 jobs?
I think so, but for the reason that I don't think the Australian market's big enough to hit those growth numbers. We've got to be going overseas. but the industry in Australia is just not seen as credible yet because of that critical mass issue. Why would an overseas customer buy from little old Clearbox here in Australia, where the government doesn't even know who I am, let alone advocate for me overseas? So we have a space agency now, and I'm optimistic about what that future holds. International engagements was mentioned several times by Anthony this morning, and I think as other companies come along, similarly, they're going to find there is a market here in Australia, but ultimately it's going to be overseas, and hopefully we can harness that to hit that critical mass to win those opportunities.
Yeah, I think we're in a particularly interesting both geographical position here in Australia because we're so close to a big emerging market in this area, which is Southeast Asia. But we're also in a, you know, this space industry, or I like to, it's really a whole economy because it's really starting to, you know, it's sort of like an octopus. It's really going into, you know, defence, mining, education, medicine, all these different areas as well. So it's really sort of more than that. And it's so new in the way that we're able to do things now. You know, we've got like Fleet, Myriota, and all the, you know, Gilmore. These are startups with very small amounts of money they start off with, and they're able to do really, really big things, which is something you really just couldn't do before. So today, you know, I love a comment from Jason Held. He says, you know, for less than the cost of a Boost Juice franchise, you can start your own commercial business now. And it really is true. So all around the world, this is quite new. We've got a blank slate that we're starting with here in Australia. And one of the things that we've spoken about a lot over the last few years, particularly when the space agency was sort of still in the planning stages, was, well, we know that we need to have an export industry. But there wasn't really much conversation around, well, how do we do that? How do we change the international culture to be more accepting of Australian space exports? And so one of the things that we've been doing at Moonshot is really starting to create new relationships overseas. And now that we've got the space agency, they're doing that as well. And I think these sort of new channels that are arising, now that we have an industry-focused agency, it's really sort of one of really two in the world, the other one's a UK space agency, is going to create really great opportunities for us here in Australia. So last year, we were actually able to show that we could bring new companies over to Australia. They want to be here to set up to create new jobs and create opportunities here. So we've got a really favourable place to be, and we're able to have those companies also start to tap into international markets, whether it's over in the US, whether it's in Europe, or whether it's in Asia, as well as Australia. So I think we're in a pretty good position. It's a very interesting time.
I think if I could add to that... In Australia, the Australian government actually spends significant money in space capability. We're talking billions of dollars, and we've seen this morning in defence sector, you know, the next 10, 20 years is billions of dollars. Now, for a startup to get $1 million of revenue is a really exciting opportunity, but for the Australian government to consider buying locally for even a percentage of that, whether it's 10, 20, 50, whatever the number, that would turbocharge the industry. And when you go to Europe and the US, they don't entertain the idea that they'd buy almost anything offshore. They buy it from their local industry. And here we have this kind of scenario in Australia where we're having to argue for a small percentage of our government funding to come locally. So I think in the next 5 years, if we're really going to supercharge this, it's the political decision. We've chosen to build submarines in Australia. I think we can build spacecraft too.
I'll go for it as well. When we're looking at that critical mass and that wave that we're talking about of enthusiasm around the space industry, let's think about three components that we can all work to that help build our own enterprises, the state of the industry here, and our connections overseas. So we talk in the panels here about how we get kids involved in STEM, and I think that discussion is really important to that ongoing wave and that critical momentum continuing to build. When we talk about existing industry here and how we work with each other, there are some really important connections around us doing business with one another and supporting each other's enterprise that's important. And that reach to overseas in continuing that critical mass growth is something that's really useful as a discussion with the space agency to say, in particular, it's fantastic to see you signing MOUs with different nations to help facilitate industry growth. Let's see the next step around those discussions that help to facilitate trade and those trade agreements and the fine details of those trade agreements that actually mean we can transact more easily. And that's something we're seeing as a launch site as being crucial to really paving the way for the whole range of industries that are looking to grow in Australia.
Carly, I'll stay with you for a second. So a sort of a leading question, I know, but if we look at aviation and the aerospace sector more generally, it is really, you know, there's apparently in an A320 or Boeing 737, there's four layers of supply chain. across hundreds of thousands of suppliers and components and so on. So it's already a globally integrated industry. What are the things that we need to do as an industry to qualify ourselves to be part of similar space supply chains globally? With, you know, you've got this vantage point as a launch site operator. You must have some thoughts, and we'll follow after that going down through the row.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There are a range of formal qualifications that you need to link into the supply chain of space, no matter what business you're in. As a launch service provider, we look at providing best practice from our understanding of our environmental mitigations and debris management to meet the Act, but also how we work to step through the different trade relations internationally. And certainly when you're looking to do that, it's not just the regulators here that you need to talk to, but it's understanding how you form those formal agreements to start sharing information in an appropriate manner. So even before you're transacting and actually shipping goods to and from, to get that supply chain right, you need the agreements in place and to demonstrate that your company has sufficient stability within it to undertake those agreements and follow them through. So, Tim, it's a really interesting thing that you say with supply chains, because one of the things that we talk to some really large integrated groups around the world, from airports through to the space industry more broadly, is that we hear this conversation: the business case won't close if you don't have the supply chains right. And that includes your own internal processes and those agreements, but also your connections into industry locally. So the supply chains are really important.
I was going to say, I think the Commonwealth can assist on that front. As the space industry is burgeoning in Australia, we've seen companies such as yourself to come to Australia to grow their business, and we need to make sure that it's not just, you know, a brain drain and no tech transfer happening. We need to be building up Australian companies to enter into the supply chain for what you're doing in Australia, so that when you do it over back with the mothership, you've got options out here as well, so we can get in there. And that's kind of similar to what I've lived the dream for, that being a defence contractor, but, you know, sometimes three or four levels down as a subcontractor in big programs, you got to start small and hope that you win that first deal here locally, and then you can get sucked into the big machine and head overseas with those larger companies.
Yeah, I'd probably second your comments there. We certainly, in all of the large companies I've worked for, when we look to supply chain, we're looking for a couple of things. Firstly, the sort of quality standards. We're always looking for someone who can build something to a standard that we know is not going to fall over straight away. Secondly, to technical standards. And in Australia, we're in a really interesting position as to whether perhaps we adopt some of the European technical standards or the American. That has some real supply chain implications. If you can build to a European standard, we're really interested in you all of a sudden. If you can build to an American standard, all the American companies are really interested, and they're the kind of key points. And even knowing how to engage with large primes, because having worked for most of the large primes in Australia, they can be really tough to engage with, and the business cycles can be months, if not longer, to work with them. So just knowing how to work with larger companies is a kind of key problem to solve too.
Yeah, I was going to say, we need to teach those Yanks the metric system too, right?
Yep. So I was going to say, so I've spoken to quite a few larger primes like Lockheed and Boeing and those sort of groups about what they think about this, because a lot of them are sort of looking, you know, considering dipping their toe in the water here in Australia with, you know, what can an Australian space industry look like for them, and particularly on the supply chain point, it's very hard for them. So this is sort of come from across the board. It's very hard for them to actually understand what companies and capabilities there actually are here in Australia. So we've obviously got, you know, groups, you know, small SMEs and startups here that are very, very visible, but they can't necessarily make up the entire supply chain for a particular solution that they're working on. So one of the big things that we have to do is start to look at, well, what are the other capabilities of companies that don't necessarily seem like they're a part of the space industry, and are they able to produce the work, or can we help them develop the capability to meet, for example, European quality work? And can then we help these primes actually have access to them? So at the moment, you know, a lot of these primes are actually looking away because they don't necessarily know, you know, is it something they can actually do here in Australia, or should they actually look overseas to try to find a particular capability? So I think having that sort of, I guess, a database almost to be able to understand where the supply chains in Australia are going to be pretty critical as well.
And there's something pretty unique about space, which is, you know, you have to get stuff into space, right? So to what extent is TRL 9 a factor you know, if you're an Australian prime, Australian-based office of a prime, or if you're an overseas supplier looking at Australia, if you want to de-risk your subcontractors, surely you're going to look for people who have that TRL9 flight heritage experience, right? Is that true? Have you seen that in your journey?
I'll start, if I may. Certainly, you know, getting runs on the board in space is a pretty key thing. What we lack in our ecosystem at the moment is the ability to move from kind of TRL3 to 7 or 8. When you go to Europe and America, they have these sort of regular calls for proposals for SMEs, local SMEs, to say, here's my idea, I've done a bit of research and I'd love to translate that to something a bit more productized, a bit more practical. Launch opportunities given from NASA to get things in space. We currently don't have that in our ecosystem. So for those companies that do jump over that divide, they've got to find VC money, they've got to find big primes who are willing to take a bit of a risk on it. It'd be great for the Australian Space Agency to have that kind of program, but it's going to unlock success because it's really hard to sell a space product in a global market if you haven't got it into space.
Technical readiness is a really interesting point for us. We get to have a higher technical readiness on our launch vehicles because we outsource that. And so when you're talking about reaching that technical readiness level, I think it's an interesting thing for Australian industry to look at, to see how much you have to do on your own bat and how much you can work with other enterprises either here or overseas to achieve what level you need for industry to proceed. So as I was saying, for us to be able to rely on international vehicles, for example, that are proven technology, brings us straight up to speed to be able to offer those missions to a whole range of different groups. At the same time, it's really important for us to work with local manufacturers, and we've got agreements in place that we've spoken about publicly, and we're always open to new agreements to help local manufacturers continue to get up to that level that we can use them for those international customers.
So, yeah, other people like also NextAero, Black Sky, Hypersonics, as well as Gilmour, folks like that, maybe opportunities to fly.
Really exciting. I mean, the progress that's being made in Australia at the moment is something that is just fantastic. We're seeing more testing, more demonstration of capacity, and that will continue to grow. And our hope is to see that there is such a continued growth in our own technical readiness levels that we're able to source things locally more and more. And for us, that comes to a key point that touches back on that supply chain matter, is that we need to be able to say in Australia it's more efficient to do it here. We're better at it, it's more efficient. And that local readiness level is going to be really important in that story.
So an interesting comment that also came from Sean Wilson of Shoal was he's seeing a change in primes towards making more local decisions, and primes in particular thinking about space rather than having a branch office mentality, actually thinking, okay, how do we build a capability? How do we actually compete with those guys in Padua? Or how do we compete with those guys in Austin so that I can set up something here that gives me more throw weight globally? Is that a trend that you're seeing? Is that incredibly critical to our growth trajectory?
Absolutely. It's a great time, actually, for us Australian small businesses. To answer the question about where does growth come shortly, in a short answer, I said export, and the other one is you can't do it alone. And one of the great areas with, you know, the Airbuses and the Lockheeds and the Northrop's growing their presence in Australia is they're being proactive and not doing it alone either. And they're seeking out Australian businesses to engage with, kind of to answer the TRL9 question, to not expect that from the start, but to dip their toe in the water and say, oh, is what these companies are doing got some sort of credibility behind it? Maybe it's funded, maybe it's not. That may be relevant depending on how profitable your business is to start with. But I'm excited about the engagement we're getting from these businesses, which I haven't seen in the 12 years of Clearbox history.
Yeah, I can go with that. I think for any, you know, like I said before, I describe this as a space economy. It's not just one industry. And for the economy, we really need to have all the different stakeholders getting involved in the different parts of the supply chain, but also in the different just aspects of what needs to happen. So, for example, universities have a role to play. Government has a role to play. Startups, more traditional SMEs, as well as the larger international primes and bigger corporates and things like that. So all of these groups and all these stakeholders have different roles to play. And it's sort of, you know, it's. I mean, this is the one time where I'll say the word ecosystem is less of a buzzword. It's a true thing. It's sort of like if you don't have bees on planet Earth, then everything sort of falls apart. We really need the primes to help be one of those connectors. to start to look at, well, where are the supply chains? How can we bring them together? And how can we help fund opportunities? Because not everything's going to come from, you know, we've got a lot of conversations happening around space, startups, and so naturally people are sort of going, well, VCs are naturally going to be something that will fund that, or, you know, government should fund this. But there's also an opportunity there, as sort of, I guess, might seem obvious, but to actually get some contracts with some of these companies as well. So a lot of funding, I think, there is a big opportunity to have some of these contracts, and it's sort of a chicken and egg. You sort of need to do all of these three things at once in terms of getting funding in to build your business up. But as we get more of these primes looking at Australia, there should be more funding available to help essentially raise the profile of a thriving small company.
I'd add perhaps a different dimension. I think when the expert reference group looked at potentially creating a space agency, there's a bit of discussion around, you know, is agency the right word? There's a really controversial kind of debate. A lot of people were worried about calling it an agency. Others were hell-bent on making sure it was called an agency. I think by literally calling it the Australian Space Agency, it made big global news. So wherever you go now in the space industry, everyone's, oh, Australia's got a space agency now. And that's created this sort of buzz and moment for everyone in the room here that the eyes of the world are kind of upon us. We're a new player. We've got a new agency. We've kind of, defence is getting excited about it. So naturally, all of the international companies are looking around for a growth opportunity. They're saying, well, you know, Australia's actually looking like a pretty good bet at the moment. So they are expanding their team, doing some R&D, now looking at supply chain opportunities. We're doing exactly that, looking at supply chain opportunities, looking at doing R&D locally. And I think now we need, over the next few years, to be able to convert to all of those global companies that it's a profitable market, because ultimately if you want to attract industry here, make a profitable market and they'll come.
Okay, so my last question is relevant to this critical mass. So we have an amazing presentations from Defence today, from CSIRO with their fantastic roadmap, of course the Australian Space Agency. So the question to you guys is, in terms of working together, is it important that we all learn how to play as a team? You know, we're here in the capital of sport, in the world capital of sport, Melbourne, where we celebrate competitiveness. But is it important that in Australia we also learn to play as a team? And if yes, how are we going to learn how to play as a team? That's kind of the final question. Carly, what do you think?
Yeah, I'd love to jump into this because there's always conversation about, well, is Australia good for launch? How many people are looking to launch? And are you all going at each other's throats because of that? And we're not. And the reason is because we all know that Australia is small and we need to work together to a degree to get anywhere. And that's very real for launch sites in particular. We're all working together and we have our different advantages. And any industry historically, government knows this well and truly because they've done this for so long. You get industry players together, you find areas where they're not competing or they can help each other, and you get absolutely tremendous conversations. So that's the how. For us in launch, we know we have an equatorial advantage because we're at 12 degrees from the equator, and that is internationally a huge position to hold. But by that same token, we know we've got customers coming to us saying, oh, we're also pretty interested in a launch that will probably suit Southern Launch, for example, or another opportunity for launch. And so for us to be able to have a strong working relationship with various sites around the world means that we can be a better customer to any of our clients. Because we can say, well, this is what we'll offer you from here, but if your mission's slightly different from that, perhaps there is another opportunity we can point you to. And it just means that industry works more smoothly, so it can work.
Yeah, so one of my favourite quotes is, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I think in this case, it's really, really true. And it sort of goes beyond just talking about, well, of course, you know, we sort of mentioned earlier, we need to be buying products and services from each other as well as sort of looking overseas and elsewhere as we grow up our own space industry. But at the same time, you know, where there's, you know, I guess particularly lately, it sort of died down a little bit since the Space Agency's been announced for Adelaide, but we saw that there was a lot of competition between our states, especially, you know, Melbourne versus Sydney, which is always going to be a thing anyway. But it's something that, you know, we really need to sort of move past, and we really need to look at what are the strengths that each of these different locations have? What are the strengths that we can play to that when we do collaborate, that we will be greater than the sum of the parts when we do that? And I think in Australia, yeah, sure, you know, we love our AFL footy and we love to compete with each other, but one of the things that we are really great at as well is working together. And so if we can move past this little speed bump that we've got at the moment, where we are sort of, you know, there is a lot of competitive talk, especially, you know, academia is another one as well, and we can start to do some more projects together and to collaborate, we really could slingshot ourselves to be sort of at the forefront of this new space industry or space economy globally. And I think all the things that we've spoken about today really are a critical part of that potentially happening.
Yeah, thanks for raising the state competition. Because I lived the dream forever with defence having the same thing, and then the space agency started, and here we go again. So at least this decision's made now. We don't have to care about that anymore. It was a distraction. But we can work together, and we need to work together. But the only pessimistic thing I'll throw in there is, with the excitement, I think we're going to see a surge in companies starting to do space work, and it's going to go past the point that it's sustainable for the market that we have here and even that we're able to tap internationally. And so in the spirit of goodwill working together, we also need to accept that maybe not all of those are going to survive, or maybe they're going to merge or be acquired, maybe going to be acquired by overseas businesses as well. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's going to be for the health of the overall industry.
I think it's interesting we brought up the sort of state-based competition. In my experience in the last 20 years, I haven't seen space on the front page of every capital city's newspaper, and to see state governments vying for where the space capital, you know, had they just made a decision up front, everyone wouldn't have talked about it much, but this kind of competitive tension actually created investment and interest and newsworthy things, and every day was a kind of topic. And I do see in future the sign of a mature space market in Australia will be when there is a lot of competition. It's kind of bad for those of us who are trying to win a piece of it, but it's a sign of a good market. And when there's 100 companies telling the public about, you know, how awesome space is, I think it will lift all boats, and that's hopefully a future scenario for us.
I think so one of the things I'll just quickly add, that the way that I look at it, so competition is something that's really necessary, but I talk about, you know, collaboration within competition. So yeah, competition really, really pushes us to reach new heights, pardon the pun, it really does. But that doesn't mean that we should have companies that are trying to go it alone, especially now that we, you know, like I said earlier, the average person has the ability to build a space company. We shouldn't have companies that are saying, well, I'm going to do a traditional aerospace thing and try to do an entire supply chain myself. It really should be looking around and saying, well, who are the key partners that I can truly actually add value to if I join with them? And it should really about, well, how can these different, I guess, small groups of partnerships compete both locally but mostly internationally as well? I feel like that's going to be our best strength, is when we have some competition, sure, but by collaborating and saying, look, how can we be stronger together and compete internationally at a time where everyone else is trying to clamour and try to understand, well, what is this new commercial space economy? How should NASA facilitate the growth of a commercial industry that just really hasn't, we've had nothing that looks like it before? I think we've got a really, really good opportunity there to just leapfrog and just forget all of that.
Well, I think on that point, I think you've definitely got a global situation where there's a huge amount of change. We've got an opportunity called last mover advantage. Google and Facebook were the last of their type, so hopefully Australia has that. And I think in this question in particular, which is the thing I want to finish with, I would encourage you to continue to ask this question of each other, and let's see how quickly and how deeply we can learn given all the changes. So, you know, where does the growth come from is a conversation and a question we want to continue to have as Delta V online. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for the panelists. You were fabulous.